Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
He loves sports.
It consumes my time. I ignore family. I put off responsibility. I love it. I'm obsessed with it.
This is the Pony Express. Here's Andrew Filippone.
And this is day 11 without live North American sporting events as most of the world deals with the coronavirus pandemic. 11 days without the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball spring training. March Madness, of course, canceled. And as a sports fan, it's been hard. But, you know, everything is relative. And in the grand scheme of things, important, but not priority number one. Now, we got a job to do here on CBS Sports Radio. And that's to give you a place to turn and go and listen to something that'll take your mind off of things, and that's what I intend to do today. The NFL, the sport, the league I care the most about, has remained largely unaffected because they don't play games until August. And the offseason has proceeded as planned. We've got now a week's worth of NFL offseason material to digest and react to, and that's what we're going to do this hour at 855-212-4CBS. Andrew Filippone on Twitter at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to encourage your calls today because I could use a little human interaction. I've been practicing social distancing to the best of my ability. I am in our Pittsburgh studios here, CBS Sports Radio, but I'm by myself. They're making sure here at Entercom that we're apart from one another, which is smart. So our producers are in New York. I'm in a studio here in Pittsburgh. And we can still continue to chat on the telephone line at 855-212-4227. I want to talk about NFL offseason winners and losers. I want to know from you if you feel like your team, the team you care about, the team you root for, if you feel like your team is an NFL offseason winner or loser. If you're a fan of the moves your team made, or if you're adamantly against the moves that your team made. Maybe there's a team you don't even root for, but they're in the division or in the conference, and they made moves, and you feel better now about your team situation, or you feel worse off because of what's happened. At 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I've got a list of winners and losers. I think maybe some of my thoughts will be a little bit different. I tend to kind of think more black sheep here. I'm kind of usually out there on my own on some of these things, and that's fine. That's okay. Like, I'm more than all right kind of having an independent thought or opinion on something. You know, if you missed hour number one, you can go to radio.com, the rewind function there, and listen back to the 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific hour. And in that hour, I said, you know, I think the Buccaneers with the Brady move, I think that they're absolutely in position to win the NFC South. I would be massively disappointed and shocked if they don't win double-digit games. And I think anything less than an NFC South championship game appearance is a disappointment for them. I think that the Buccaneers are clearly a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2007. I think Tampa Bay is the biggest NFL offseason winner, but they're not the only one. They're not the only NFL offseason winner. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are one. They get a corner who has high pedigree in Slay from Detroit. I think he struggled some last year, but the Detroit defense was on the field a lot. They couldn't stop the run at all. And because of the Stafford injury, they went from an okay team to an awful team and put their defense in a lot of precarious positions. And I think just everything I've heard about Slay is that in the right situation, he can be good. And that was an issue for Philadelphia because of injuries last year. I think the Eagles, to win 9 games with all their injuries, I think they've got big bounce back potential. So I think they can win double-digit games next year. So I think they're a winner. And I also think they're a winner for this reason. I don't know what's going to happen with Dak Prescott. I know I am not convinced he plays on the franchise tag. I know Kirk Cousins did it, and he did it twice. I think this is a different situation. I don't think it's quite Le'Veon Bell, where the guy hates the franchise tag so much where he sits out the entire year. But I think this can get messy in Dallas. And it's already going to be a strange and different offseason as it is. And I think it could get even more dicey for the Cowboys because of a strained relationship with Dak Prescott. I don't think the Cowboys handled this the right way. I would have, if I were them, honestly, rather than pay him, you know, close to $35 million, if I'm Dallas, I would have either traded him or I would have let him leave in free agency. To be completely honest, this was one of the few years where there were some quarterbacks available on the market. And I think the same things I'm saying about Tampa Bay in Brady would have applied to Brady going to Dallas. Now, Mike McCarthy didn't get along with Aaron Rodgers, but I think if Brady went there, he would have more autonomy. And I think you pair him up with Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott, and I think the Cowboys offense would have flourished with him. So I think Dallas might have missed one there. I don't want to pay a premium for Dak Prescott. I know he's second to Brady in wins since he's come into the league, but my eyes tell me he's not a great quarterback. And the facts tell me that it's really hard to win with an expensive quarterback. I'd rather have Brady at $25 million a year than Dak Prescott at like $30-plus million. And so that's the situation there. And I think the Eagles will be the team in the NFC East that, again, will capitalize and take advantage of the situation there in Dallas. I think the Eagles will be the recipient of the good luck that comes with the Cowboys being in a little bit of a state of disarray. Now, this one might surprise you. I actually think the Bears are an offseason winner from this perspective. I don't like the Jimmy Graham signing. Artie Burns, the corner they signed from the Steelers yesterday, is one of the worst defensive backs I've ever laid eyes on. And so he won't make them better. But I think Foles has succeeded in systems. And Jacksonville wasn't a system for him, but I think Chicago is because Nagy's there. He's an Andy Reid disciple, and they can win with defense. And so if I'm Chicago, I would make the move now. If I'm them, I've got Foles. I'm making him my starting quarterback day one. And I'm not going to even have a competition going into training camp. Trubisky is there, and then he's done. I'm letting him walk. I don't think that there's enough potential or I don't think there's the capacity there for Trubisky to bounce back. I think at this point, we know what he is. He's a borderline starting quarterback in this league. And it's really just a horrible. The GM there, Pay, should be fired for the decision. He made a good Khalil Mack trade. Whippy. His head should be on the chopping block for the decision to move up to not only draft Mitch Trubisky, but pass on guys like Mahomes and Watson. But I think Foles actually gives them a chance, and the sooner they go to him, the better. I think that that division is very winnable this year. Stafford's back. They don't have any interest in Tua. Dumb. I think Detroit will continue to be a dumpster fire. They've got a coach who's just a complete buffoon. I think Minnesota without Diggs, I think they'll be competitive. I don't think they'll be great. I think the Packers will, because they have Aaron Rodgers, will win double-digit games. But I'm not convinced that they're going to. To me, they were the worst 13-3 team of all time in 2019. So I think the Bears can actually win the division if they go to Foles. So I look at them as a winner. Obviously, I said Tampa. You know, I'm not going to be the first nor the last to say that Arizona got better because they gave up a bad contract in David Johnson. They already had Kenyon Drake, who they liked more. And now you've got DeAndre Hopkins there. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on Cliff Kingsbury. And you know, there's been a lot of turnover in that organization. The general manager there, Keim, has come under some hot water and some fire for good reason. So I think it's put up or shut up time for Arizona. My prediction in the NFC West is that the 49ers will miss the playoffs, and we'll see Seattle and Arizona make it this year. I think the Rams are going to finish in last place. I think they're absolutely a loser here because they put a lot of they put a lot into 2019, and they doled out, they gave out big contracts to Gurley and Goff, and they've already punted on Gurley, and I think they're going to look like total morons for the Goff deal. I think that he is a super overrated quarterback, definitely not a number one pick, and somebody that I think will, a year or two from now, be somebody's backup. I don't think you win Super Bowls with Jared Goff. As far as the AFC winners and losers are concerned, I think that Buffalo, the move they made for Diggs, very overrated. Not so much because I think Diggs can't play. He's a very temperamental wide receiver. I think he's got a lot of diva qualities. And I don't think the quarterback in Buffalo is very good. I think Josh Allen can run it. I don't think he can throw it. And I think we saw that in the Houston playoff game. I think he's been exposed as a quarterback. I think he's versatile. He's dual threat. But you've got to be able to make throws downfield, and he can't do that. And I think we're going to discover that it wasn't because of a lack of wide receivers. It's going to be because of a physical limitation. Miami's getting a lot of credit, but we know what Miami's going to be. As long as Ryan Fitzpatrick is the quarterback there, he's going to win you five games. He's going to lose you five games. He is Jameis Winston light. And a lot of people are now, I think, giving Ryan Fitzpatrick too much credit because of how he closed the year, beating New England in Foxborough. But I think the Dolphins are just going to be another kind of 6-10 team that spent a lot of money. And they got to get a rookie quarterback and a young quarterback in there ASAP. Maybe they will. Maybe you'll get Tua. Maybe they won't. I think the Patriots are obviously a loser because they lost Tom Brady, but not as big as people are making them out to be. I think they'll make the playoffs in 2020 by hook or by crook, and they'll probably win the division. Because like I said, I'm down on Josh Allen in Buffalo. As long as Adam Gase is the Jets coach, you know, I know they were good when Darnold was in, but look at the teams they beat. And the Le'Veon Bell contract is a joke. And who is he going to get the ball to? Where are the weapons for Darnold? I think he's a guy that has just been put in a bad situation. And if he had been drafted by a different team, I think his career would look different. Offensive line terrible and not enough weapons. And Bell was a bad move. So I think that the Patriots will probably win that division by default. I think Baltimore's a winner. I think Pittsburgh's a winner with the Ebron signing. They got a tight end and they'll get Ben back. And I think that the Browns will get all kinds of, again, off-season recognition, but I don't think much of it is really deserved. I think Austin Hooper definitely took advantage of being in an offense where most of the attention was on Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. I don't think he's very good. I think he's so-so. I'm shocked that he's now the highest-paid tight end in the league. Never once did I look at the Atlanta Falcons and think, man, we got a game plan. My team's got a game plan to stop Austin Hooper. Complimentary player. And they're not paying him like one. I think the best thing the Browns did was hire Bill Callahan as their offensive line coach. But Baker Mayfield is still the quarterback there. And mark my words, I think we will see at some point, Kevin Stefanski, the new coach, pull the plug on Baker Mayfield in 2020 and actually start Case Keenum at quarterback. So I think it's going to get ugly there. I think the Bengals are picking the wrong quarterback. I don't think Burrow is going to be the guy. I think Tua is better. So I don't really think they're a winner. I think the entire AFC South right now is a loser in the offseason. I think Jacksonville, the only thing I can say about Jacksonville is if they plummet to the bottom of the league and in 2021 they've got a new head coach in Trevor Lawrence, well then that's the right move. Because I don't think Gardner Minshew is the answer, and I think Doug Marrone is a lame duck. Your fans don't care anyways, so why not go 2-14? So maybe they've got the best idea in the division. Phillip Rivers stinks. He's old. I think we watched him kind of go the Eli Manning route last year. I have no idea why the Colts picked him as their quarterback. I would have gone with Foles if I were them. Foles won with Frank Reich. And Chris Ballard likes Foles, the GM there. Houston, Bill O'Brien, enough said. Love Deshaun Watson. Think the coach is okay, but I think O'Brien as the general manager is incompetent. And the Tennessee Titans, what they experienced last year with Ryan Tannehill was lust. It wasn't love. And they fell for it. They got hot with Tannehill. Now they're paying him. And if we've learned anything in the NFL, it's that, you know, don't assume because something went right for 6 or 7 games last year that you can replicate it the following year. And I think they're going to absolutely regret giving so much money to Tannehill and not making an offer to Tom Brady. I'd rather have Brady, and the price point is about the same. So they're losers. I think Kansas City is a winner just because they've got Patrick Mahomes and no one really in the division got any better. So status quo is good for the Super Bowl champs. I think that the Chargers, another team that I could squint and say winner, because if they tank for Trevor Lawrence, I think that's a good idea. Tyrod Taylor is not good. He's awful. And I think if you subject maybe LA fans to, you know, an awful season in a new stadium, that's not a good start. But if it's temporary pain for long-term gain with Trevor Lawrence, then I think that's fine. I don't know what the Broncos are thinking. Melvin Gordon's not going to solve their problems. I don't believe in Drew Locke, so I think they're a loser. And I think the Raiders are a loser too because, you know, John Gruden can't decide on a quarterback. And I think he's running a good quarterback out of town. I think you can win with Derek Carr, but John Gruden is convinced that you can't. And I think he is a copycat league. He looks at what happened with Mariota. He liked Mariota out of the draft. So did Mike Mayock. And I think that they're trying to be the 2019 Titans. I think they want Derek Carr to get benched for Marcus Mariota. And I'm more of a Carr believer, I guess, than most. You know, I think the way that Derek Carr plays would be perfect for the Patriots. I'd like to see him go there. And if Derek Carr is in New England, I think they win a lot of games. Offseason winners and losers. Do you think your NFL team is an offseason winner or an offseason loser? Give me the team you care about or you're worried about because they're in your division or conference that you think is a big winner. Give me the team that you think is a big loser. Give me a team that you agree with me on. Actually, scratch that. Give me a team that you disagree with me on. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. NFL offseason winners or losers a week into this thing. I've given you mine. I want to hear some of yours next. It's Andrew Filippone, the Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to CBS Sports Radio. Here's Andrew Filippone.
There we go. Coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Talking about the biggest NFL offseason winners and losers, and most of the big free agents have now been signed, have found new teams. Jadeveon Clowney still out there. Robbie Anderson, Jets wide receiver, still out there. Jameis Winston, obviously. Heard Jeff Darlington say on ESPN this morning, ice cold interest in Jameis Winston. Chargers don't want him. Patriots aren't interested. He said goodbye to Tampa Bay in a post yesterday, thanked him for 5 years there. Where's he go? And I'm in Pittsburgh, our CBS Sports Radio studios here. I think he'd be a perfect fit for the Steelers. I think it makes way more sense for Jameis Winston to back up Ben Roethlisberger than it would for him to go to Jacksonville, let's say, and compete with Gardner Minshew. Jacksonville is, I think, in a kind of thin ice situation where they're not going to be a very good football team. The coach is probably not going to survive the season. They play games in London. And if I were Jameis Winston, I would try to go the Teddy Bridgewater route. I'll stop in Pittsburgh the same way that Bridgewater stopped in New Orleans. I'll take less. Maybe it'll even structure the contract where it's cheap for the first couple of years, backup money, and then maybe third and fourth year options that pay me like a starter for when Big Ben retires. You know, same type of quarterback, high risk, high reward quarterback, gunslinger quarterbacks, and you hope that, you know, this market, the way the market has played out for Jameis would kind of be a come to Jesus moment for him. I can't be so reckless. I've got to calm down. You know, I got to get some of the bad out of my game. And so to me, to sit and watch for a couple of years and maybe play in relief, or if Ben gets injured or can't fully come back from the elbow injury, would be a good thing for him. But I don't think LA is a good idea. Because I think L.A., he'll go there and he'll just fall into the same bad habits. Ooh, I got Mike Williams, I've got Keenan Allen, I've got Austin Eckler, I've got Hunter Henry, and they'll throw it 40 times a game and he'll throw another 30 interceptions. I think that it'll just reinforce Jameis Winston's bad habits. I think watching would help. I don't think that Belichick wants the headache. I think Belichick wants somebody that can just... I don't think he needs someone to win him games right now. I think he wants someone who just won't lose them games. And so Jameis doesn't fall into that category. You know, the Carolina Panthers, I understand why you got a new regime there. You don't want to start with Cam Newton because of the injuries. He's in his 30s. I don't think they're going to find a trade market for him. I don't think they're going to get a high pick for him. I just don't get the love affair with Teddy Bridgewater. I just don't. I don't understand it. I think he's a competent quarterback. I don't think he's somebody you win championships with. So I'm not really sure what... Are they asking Bridgewater to be a bridge to a franchise quarterback? Maybe. But that's kind of how I look at him. I don't look at him as a franchise changer. Let me put it that way. NFL offseason winners and losers. I think the biggest winner is obviously the Bucs because they get Tom Brady, because it's a total culture change. Because it gives them credibility. There are four NFL franchises that I think are largely irrelevant. The Bengals, the Chargers, the Jaguars, and the Bucks. The Bucks have the worst win percentage of any team in the NFL all time. And now they've got the all-time best quarterback at the helm. So I think it's just a total... If the Buccaneers can't sell Tom Brady at quarterback, well then maybe they should be the ones moving to London. And I think he'll win there. So I think they're the biggest winners. A lot of losers. A lot of losers out there. I'd say Houston is probably the biggest. Because the trade with the Cardinals just doesn't. I don't care what kind of personality change or what kind of contractual stalemate was there. The return for Hopkins makes no sense. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You want to weigh in here. That number sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. Here is Keith in Atlanta. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Keith.
Hey, PP, how you doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, listen, I like your tact about the winners and losers. I'm a big-time Falcons fan. I'm kind of happy and I'm kind of not happy about Tom Brady being in our division. I'm kind of happy about it because the Falcons, we get our chance to get revenge against this guy twice a year. It's not going to be a cakewalk coming into the NFC South. I don't think Tom Brady's going to be the savior. But having said that, I think the
Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, when you say he's not the savior, what do you mean? The Bucs haven't made the playoffs since 2007. If he delivers 10 wins there next year, they will treat him like God.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think they can get there. I think they're going to be about 9 wins. They can get 2 games, maybe 3 games better than they did last year. But that defense is not going to carry the whole team. And Tom Brady can't do it by himself.
It doesn't have to. I mean, and he's not. I mean, he's got 2 1,000-yard wide receivers. He's got two good, maybe not great, but he's got 2 good tight ends who, compared to the tight ends he had last year in New England, might as well be Rob Gronkowski lights. I mean, he had no tight ends last year. He's got a better offensive line in Tampa, at least in the interior, which is important for him because he doesn't do well with pressure up the middle. And he's got a really good offensive coach. I mean, he's not going to turn it over 35 times.
The intangibles are that we hate Tom Brady. He beat us in the Super Bowl. The NFC South hates Tom Brady. The Saints hate him. The Falcons hate him.
You don't think Carolina the AFC East teams hated him? And they still couldn't beat him. I mean,
yeah, but they suck. They couldn't do anything about it. That's when you get mad and you can't fight. That's what
I don't understand. I mean, do we expect the Panthers to be good? I mean, they won 5 games last year. They're going to lose their former MVP quarterback because he's too injury prone, and they're a Hall of Fame linebacker retired, Keekly. I mean, how are they going to be any better? They're not going to be good. So there's 2 wins.
Probably not.
Okay.
The point there.
Well, so we got to figure out what Atlanta is, okay? Because last year, everybody this time of year was saying the Falcons are going to be the big bounce back team and they're going to go to the playoffs. And then the first games of the season were an absolute atrocity. The coach could have been fired for the way the Falcons played for the first 10 games last year. So what is Matt Ryan at this point? I mean, is
he
good?
The coach and the GM could have been both fired, but Arthur Blank thought enough of them to keep them for continuity. They made moves, so I'm going to give the Falcons an
A. Well, what moves did they make? I mean, they brought in
offense.
Well, what did they do? They brought in Gurley. I mean, I don't mind buying low on him. I think 1 year,
and
$6 million.
On the other side of the line.
And what? I'm sorry, I missed that last one.
Dante Fowler.
Yeah.
Brought
okay.
him
I mean,
in
he's,
on the defense.
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, I think he might be a little bit better than Beasley. I wouldn't say he's a massive upgrade there, though.
A lot
though.
Better.
I don't know about that.
We know Vic Beasley.
Yeah, Vic Beasley is what, 37 sacks in the last 5 years? Go look up Fowler's numbers. I don't think they're any better.
Beasley is a whiner, and I'm glad we got rid of him. So.
Okay, I mean, if that's how you feel, but what's Matt Ryan right now? I mean, Matt Ryan, to me, is somebody that looked like an MVP with Kyle Shanahan and has looked like a below-average quarterback since. And so I think absolutely the Buccaneers will have a better record than them. The only question is, are the Buccaneers better than the Saints? And I think the argument's there to be made. I think there's absolutely an argument to be made there. I think we got to figure out what do the Saints have in Kamara now? Is he gonna go back to being 2018 Alvin Kamara, or is the 2019 version of him the new Kamara? Because that was a big drop off. What does Emmanuel Sanders have left in the tank? What is Drew Brees gonna look like? He's in his 40s too. I mean, they got beat at home by the Vikings in the playoffs, the same way the Patriots got beaten at home by the Titans. Both teams got beat by 6 seeds. So I hear a lot of questions about Tom Brady. Where are the questions for Drew Brees? I think the biggest NFL offseason winner is Tampa. I think the biggest loser is Houston. I think Philadelphia is a big winner. I think that people are making the Bills out to be a big winner. I don't see it. I think the Ravens are a big winner too, because they got Calais Campbell for pretty much nothing. I want to know what you think. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, at The Pony Express. Pony spelled P-O-N-I, at CBS Sports Radio. That's the name of the show. Your call's next. Your team, NFL offseason winner or loser. You tell me. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Pony Express. Here's Andrew Filippone.
We're talking about NFL offseason winners and losers here on CBS Sports Radio. Your team, the team you care about, offseason winner or loser? And maybe there's a team you care about because of proximity, because they're in a division with you or in the same conference, and you're happy that they've either lost out on this offseason situation, or you feel like you're now nervous or worried because they've leapfrogged you with the moves they've made. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. As far as players are concerned, Jameis Winston, obviously a loser. He's not going to be a starting quarterback in 2020 unless there's an injury. Also, guys like Jadeveon Clowney, still a free agent. Robbie Anderson, Jets wide receiver, still a free agent. Anthony Pierno producing back in New York. What's up with Robbie Anderson, Pierno?
What's up with the Jets in general?
Well, why hasn't he been signed? Are you a fan of his?
He has talent. I mean, he's had some off-the-field issues. That's been a problem, but he's definitely talented wide receiver. The Jets have had a lot of issues. They have a lot of holes to fill. They've lost their two starting corners from week one of 2019. Got cut both of those guys. Still trying to they've been patching up the offensive line this offseason so far, but a lot of holes on the Jets.
Yeah.
But got to protect the quarterback. That's first and foremost.
Absolutely.
They have been trying to do a better job at protecting Darnold this offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Darnold might go down as a quarterback that was just drafted by the wrong team, put in a bad situation. There's a lot of stories like that in NFL history.
That'd be typical for the Jets fans is he'll wind up going elsewhere. Because you have to wonder if the Jets do falter this season, if they have a bad year and they're picking high in the draft next year, you just wonder again – do they think about possibly going in a different direction? I mean, because I've already heard people speculating that possibly they could be looking at maybe another quarterback change after this upcoming season if things didn't fare well.
Here's Frank in Georgia on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Frank.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, I wish these – Well, first of all, I'm a Patriot fan, and I do believe the Patriots, not the biggest loser, but they did lose because, of course, you don't have Tom Brady. And, you know, Bill Belichick's attitude, I mean, I think he really cost us that Super Bowl against Philadelphia, you know, benching Malcolm Butler, you know, his way or the highway. I'm like, man, you know, just go out there and win. Mm-hmm. Discipline guys later or cut them, but win the darn game first.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I actually think the biggest loser are the 49ers. I mean, all this rumors about Jimmy Garoppolo and how, you know, they wanted to trade for Brady and just a lack of confidence. I'm like, this is a Super Bowl or bust team. Now all of a sudden you don't have confidence in your quarterback. I mean, I didn't hear, like, the GM or the coach come out and say, this is our guy. And they just let the rumors, you know, just go around. So I think the 49ers are going to have a big drop compared to where they were this past season. But as far as these Falcon fans go, and I live here in Georgia, I'm getting sick and tired of them calling in talking about, oh, Tampa ain't going to be this, Tampa ain't going to be that. I'm like, they just upset because, I mean, you had the vision where Drew Brees misses five games, Cam Newton is out, and Jameis Winston throws 30 picks, and you still can't win. And then you had a situation where you thought Drew Brees wasn't going to come back.
And then the worst part of what you're saying, Frank, is that they kind of, you know, closed the season on a high note, which I think is fool's gold, in that they won a lot of meaningless games, and it saved some jobs. And I think it gave the Falcons the false sense that they're actually closer to winning than they actually are.
No, they're closer to getting Dan Quinn fired, which needs to happen. I mean, Dan Quinn is straight garbage. The Falcons are just straight garbage. Arthur Blank is in a rebuild, but he doesn't want to let the city know.
Well, they had an offensive coordinator that should have been their head coach in Shanahan. And I understand Shanahan now has presided over two of the biggest collapses in NFL Super Bowl history with the Niners and with the Falcons as an offensive coordinator, so he's not perfect, but he's better than Quinn. And so the offensive coordinator, I think, was the real reason why that team went to the Super Bowl with Matt Ryan and why Ryan was the MVP. I have no doubt. I feel very confident in saying the Bucs will be better than the Falcons, absolutely better than the Panthers in 2020, and I think it's close, but I also believe they're better than the Saints. Here's Cody in Richmond. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Cody.
Hey, how you doing today, Andy?
Hey, man.
I just wanted to – I'm not I think that Brady will definitely do good. I think they'll take that division. I have to agree with you on the biggest loser would have to be the Texans. I don't know how you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins like that and then come around the corner and the Rams release Todd Gurley. You could have just waited a while and then signed him to that one-year deal. But anyway, they made the biggest mistake. I think Tampa Bay is definitely one of the biggest winners. I'd have to say, which hasn't been brought up, is that I mean, the Cardinals definitely made a good move on that part, on that other end of that trade, for sure, getting rid of that.
Well, they're going to look. They're going to live by the sword and die by the sword. If the Cardinals are going to win, they've got an offensive coach. They made the bold move of dumping Rosen after 1 year and bringing in Kyler Murray with the first pick. So they're going to live by the sword, die by the sword. They're going to try to outscore people to win. Okay, they're trying to bring Big 12 football. So if they're going to try to play that way, you might as well try to amass the most talented offense possible. And now you've got, I don't think there's any question that DeAndre Hopkins, maybe after Michael Thomas right now, is the best wide receiver in the NFL. And you didn't have to, go crazy to make it happen. So I think you're right. I mean, we're going to figure out here if Kingsbury can coach at the NFL level. And I think Kyler Murray ran for his life a lot. And I think he had a typical rookie season where he showed flashes and also showed kind of the rookie wall where he made some very inexperienced decisions. But now everything gets accelerated with the Hopkins trade. And so the Arizona Cardinals, another one of these teams, I should have included them, an irrelevant team. There's five: Bengals, Chargers, Jags, Bucks, and Cardinals. I think for them, now here's a chance for them to be an exciting team and to be a team that people want to watch. And when they went to their last Super Bowl, that's exactly who they were. They had three 1,000-yard receivers: Fitzgerald, Bolden, and Breston. And now you've got Hopkins and Kirk and Fitzgerald and the kid from UMass who can fly at wide receiver. So, you know, they should score a lot of points. And maybe their defense will let them down, but at least they've got an identity. And it's one thing to say it, go out and do it, and they did with the Hopkins trade. They took advantage of a very bad, a guy that I think in Bill O'Brien that, you know, needed to stay in his lane. If he was a head coach, okay. I think you could do worse. As a general manager, I don't think you can. Here's Jim in Milwaukee on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Jim.
Yeah. A lot of us fans here in terms of Green Bay Packers aren't expecting or looking to Rodgers to effectively make the difference in this upcoming season. I think more so getting a bona fide second receiver, middle linebacker, and hopefully having some of the players take a step forward like Rashad Gary in terms of a pass rush. I think pretty much we've come to grips with the fact that Aaron Rodgers is clearly on the decline, and, of course, that running game with Aaron Jones, knock on wood, he remains healthy.
Well, they will, and thanks, Jim, and your phone's making all kinds of noises. They'll go into the season probably as the favorites to win the NFC North, and they should be, even though they were very overrated last year, and you know they were a 13-3 team in record only. The record lied last year. They were not that good of a team. And Rodgers has become a very safe quarterback. He very rarely lets it rip. He does not play with any kind of reckless abandon, and I don't know why. He's got the physical tools to still be an incredible quarterback, but he seems more concerned with limiting interceptions. That seems to be his first and foremost concern. With Diggs gone in Minnesota, they've subtracted more than they've added. We know the Lions have another coach who, you know, thinks he's Bill Belichick 2.0, and he's not, and he's got no respect among his players. So I don't think Detroit's going to be very good. The X factor to me is Chicago. And the quicker they turn the page to Nick Foles, the better they'll be. If they try to force Trubisky, I think the Packers will win the division. If they go to Foles from day one, I think Chicago can win the division. I think the Bears could bounce back this year. What were they, 8-8 last year? I think they could win with their defense and him and Foles. I think they could win 10-plus games. Here's Brandon in California on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey.
I just wanted to make a couple of quick points. First of all, I'm a Raiders fan, so, you know what I mean? I don't have no dog in the fight, but I am a football fan.
Sure.
And the thing I heard you guys talk about earlier, you guys mentioned the receiving core Kyler Murray got.
Sure.
Nothing's going to happen if you don't beef up the line. You know what I'm saying? If he's still running for his life, I don't care what kind of weapons is on the outside. It still ain't going to happen.
Well, at least he can move. I mean, he's not a statue back there. You know, I mean, he's not Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady.
All I'm saying is if you got the kind of protection that if you got even close to the kind of protection Tom Brady had in half of his career, you're going to have a decent season as a quarterback.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? But if you ain't got that and you running for half the games, half your life, you ain't. I don't care what your weapons on the outside is. You ain't going to do nothing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Cause you,
yeah.
But and the other thing I was going to say is the main reason why I called is because you mentioned that what Tom Brady you said something about I've heard a bunch of people saying that they felt like he fell off because of last year. Man, go back last year and you named three of his receivers.
I didn't say that about Brady.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying people. I've heard a lot of people talk.
Well, those people are wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. They're wrong.
Man, I'm like his receivers. You can't even name three of them. You know what I mean?
Well, he had Edelman, who had drops, who was plagued by drops last year, and he doesn't look like the same wide receiver to me. And thanks for calling. Philip Dorsett, bad trade by Belichick. I think he'd rather have Jacoby Brissett right now than Dorsett. That was a bad deal with Indy. The tight ends, you're right. I mean, who could name them? Benjamin Watson just retired, and he was like, you know, Methuselah. He was 97 years old playing tight end. I think Frank Gore and Benjamin Watson played in, you know, they can recall, you know, playing in, you know, going back to the early years of the NFL. You know, they were playing, I think, before the NFL and AFL merged. I mean, they've been around forever. So, yeah, I think Brady, the numbers back it up. There's analytics that'll tell you that Brady wasn't the problem. It was the supporting cast last year. Now, he's not the force multiplier that he used to be. He can't make bad players good like he used to be, but he can excel with weapons, and he's going to have a bunch of them in Tampa. And I think the offensive line argument that, you know, Tampa's line is going to get him killed, I disagree with that. I think Arians is going to have to adjust because he likes quarterbacks to sit in there and make throws downfield, so that's going to have to be an adjustment. But I trust Arians will make it. I'll say it again. With Drew Stanton as his quarterback in Arizona, Arians was 9-4. So he's had a lot of great quarterbacks, but he's won with backups too. And Brady's much better than Drew Stanton. Let's get that straight. What are the Patriots going to be next year? That'll be one of the things we talk about. There's new information on what New England is going to do at quarterback. Are they done? Are they going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL in 2020? What do you think? I'll give you my thoughts next. I'm Andrew Filipponi. It's the Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.